right, my friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the Psalms from the Book of Sung Praises from the Wisdom Literature of the Old Testament, and we connect that Psalm to the daily Mass readings. Well, today we are in Friday in the octave of Easter, so every day is a solemnity. Every day is Easter this week. And so now we see that Jesus rose from the dead, and now the apostles now go out and begin to do the work that Christ has called them to do. And so today, our first reading is from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. And during the Easter, actually, most of the readings, the first readings, are from the Acts of the Apostles. And then we have the Gospel from John, toward the end of John's Gospel, John 21. And then for the Psalm, we have Psalm 118, which is a Hallel Psalm or a praise Psalm. Psalms 113 to 118 are Hallel Psalms. And then Psalms 135 and 136 would be the Hallel Haggadah Psalms, which are the great Hallel Psalms. And then Psalms 145 to 150 are the Deutero Hallel or second praise Psalms. So this is Psalm 118 is a Psalm of rejoicing, which of course is what we're doing this week. So in the first reading, Acts of the Apostles, we see that Peter and John are out speaking with the people, proclaiming the gospel, sharing the good news of God's love to the world. And you know, after they had, the crippled man had been cured, when they were still speaking, the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees confronted them, and they were disturbed because Peter and John were teaching the people and proclaiming Jesus as resurrected from the dead. So they arrested Peter and John to put them into to jail, because those the crowds were hearing them and more people were coming to faith in Jesus. You know, and so the next day, the leaders, Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and those who were in the priestly class brought them in and questioned them. You know, by why are you doing this? Basically, is what they're saying. And they said, he said, and Peter begins to testify. You know, he goes, you know, you've seen the good deed done to the cripple, and there's no other name that you could be saved by except by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. You know, so and then what does he quote here? The stone rejected by you, the builders, has become the cornerstone. He's quoting from the psalm, you know, that connects the first and the reading and the gospel together. You know, that's a beautiful part of Psalm 118 right there. He goes, there is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name in heaven under which humanity can be saved except the name of Jesus. So here we see the boldness of Peter now, who denied Jesus three times and is now boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus, who's now, who was afraid before, but now love has replaced fear. And now he's not afraid to proclaim the truth of what he knows to be true, the objective truth of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, and is speaking the words of truth in order to help bring salvation to the lives of all of those that he encounters, him, of course, along with the other apostles as well. And then in the gospel today, we see, again, toward the end of the gospel, Jesus revealed himself to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And so Peter, Thomas, Didymus, Nathanael, and the other apostles are there. They're out fishing. You got to remember, this is before Pentecost. So after Jesus rose from the dead, they go back out and do what they were doing before. You know, they were fishing. They were fishing all night, caught nothing. Then it was dawn. Jesus was standing on the shore. And they didn't, again, did not realize it was Jesus, right? There's something about that resurrected body at first. Because remember, Mary Magdalene did not recognize Jesus when she first saw him in the garden. You know, when she went to anoint the body. You know, she did not, she went to the tomb. She did not recognize Jesus at first. She thought he was the gardener. And same thing here. The apostles don't recognize Jesus at first. So there's something about that resurrected body. They first didn't recognize him. So he said, "Did you have you caught anything to eat?" They said, "No." They said, "Cast your net over the right side of the boat, you'll find something." And so they cast their nets, and the haul of the fish was so large they could hardly pull it in. And so it was then that Peter recognized the Lord. Why? Because in the same way, remember, when Jesus first called them, they had caught nothing that first time. And they Jesus said, "Throw your nets over you for a catch." And the haul was so big that they have the nets were tearing. They had to have people come and help them. And then G remember, Peter fell before the feet of Jesus, said, "Lord, stay away from me. I'm a sinful man." And the Lord says to him, "You will be fishers of men," right? And so now, in the same kind of similar action here, it's in that action that Peter recognizes that it is Jesus, it is the Lord. And they were only a few hundred yards away, so he jumps into the water and tries to get to Jesus. And so Jesus, when he reached the shore, Jesus was there cooking fish, and he had some bread there. He said, "Bring the fish you had just caught." And when they brought it over, Jesus said, made them breakfast. He says, "Come and eat." So none of the disciples asked him, "Who are you?" Because they realized it was the Lord. And he took the bread and gave it to him, and the fish. Again, another reminder here of the miracle of feeding with the loaves and the fish. Jesus is showing them by his actions that it is him, that he is real, that he is risen from the dead. And remember, he still carries the marks of the crucifixion with him as well. And John tells us this is the third time that Jesus revealed himself to disciples after he was raised from the dead. So Jesus is showing that the reality of his rising from the dead, that this is real, that this is not just a story that is he's witnessing to the power of his risen of that he's risen from the dead, and it was to share that with the world.
Yeah, and how many times have we been guilty of missing when he was working, when he was present, when he was active? And we either chalk it off as something that we did or someone else did. But again, I love being able to go back to him and say, "Lord, show me where you worked and I missed it." Because then I know the blueprint of his voice, his actions. Not necessarily always his timing, because that seems to still vary. I can't, after all these years, figure that out. But again, if anything I've learned is that he likes to work in the 11th hour. So a lot of times I was like, well, when it comes down to the final deadline, he'll show up, right? Because when it's finished, it's his hand at work.
Yeah, exactly right. And today we're talking about seeing Christ in the poor. And so it's also having others recognize Christ within us
Yes.
as well. We said this before that some people may meet Jesus for the first time when they encounter us.
Right.
So that's what we always have to be conscious and aware and in living in the presence of the Lord so that we can be that presence to others.
Yeah, and it's also a frightening thought that you may be the only Jesus people see all day. So representing him well, making sure that you are serving in a capacity that leaves a great impression. I mean, nothing's worse than trying to, wash out someone's mouth that has a bad taste of Jesus because we misrepresented him. Christ didn't misrepresent, we did.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And yeah, we have to be very caught aware of that for sure.
For more on the Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.